Welcome to Between the Lines. Listening to literature online. This is show number 43. Deep Simplicity, the poetry of William Stafford. Stafford lived from 1914 to 1993. I've personally barely scratched the surface of his poetry, but what I've read just wowed me. Was at a library one day and saw a copy of Learning to Live in the World, Earth Poems by William Stafford, and read some, and then went to the bookstore in town and got the book. So I'm going to be reading selections from that book. That particular library moved, and the independent bookstore closed a bunch of years ago. So things change, but the poetry and the essence and the spirit continues. This is your host, Monk. Thank you for listening.
Scars. They tell how it was. And how time came along, and how it happened again and again. They tell the slant life takes when it turns and slices your face as a friend. Any wound is real. In church, a woman lets the sun find her cheek, and we see the lesson. There are years in that book. There are sorrows a choir can't reach when they sing. Rows of children lift their faces of promise, places where the scars will be.
Stafford's poems are sort of between haiku and short poems. They're tend to be a bit longer. Some of his real short ones may be close to haiku, but they're not technically haiku. Most of his poems are shortish, but they have a haiku flavor to it. Just simplicity, essence, gets right to the essence of things. It's almost hard to describe. After I've read his poems, I wonder, how did he do that? How did he use hardly any big words and not too much fancy metaphors and descriptions and adjectives, and yet something comes across? So I'll let you hear that later on when the poems are actually read, hence the title Deep Simplicity. Going to start with some of the bio information from Wikipedia, because it's quite fascinating. William Edgar Stafford was an American poet and pacifist, and the father of poet and essayist Kim Stafford. He was appointed the 20th consultant in poetry to the Library of Congress in 1970. I think that title later became the Poet Laureate. He was born in Kansas and lived in Oregon. He was drafted into the United States Armed Forces in 1941 while pursuing his master's degree at the University of Kansas, but declared himself a conscientious objector. As a registered pacifist, he performed alternative service from 1942 to 46 in the civilian public service camps operated by the Brethren Service Commission of the Church of the Brethren, which consisted of forestry and soil conservation work in Arkansas, California, and Illinois for $2.50 per month. While working in California in 1944, he met and married Dorothy Hope France. One striking feature of his career is its late start. Stafford was 48 years old when his first major collection of poetry was published, Traveling Through the Dark, which won the 1963 National Book Award for Poetry. Stafford had a quiet daily ritual of writing, and his writing focuses on the ordinary. His gentle quotidian style has been compared to Robert Frost. His poems are typically short, focusing on the earthy, accessible details appropriate to a specific locality. In an interview in 1971, Stafford said, "I keep following this sort of hidden river of my life, you know. Whatever the topic or impulse which comes, I follow it along trustingly, and I don't have any sense of its coming to a kind of crescendo or of its petering out either. It is just going steadily along." That, to me, sounds a lot like the Taoist philosophy. And the bio continues, "Stafford was a close friend and collaborator with poet Robert Bly. Despite his late start, he was a frequent contributor to magazines and anthologies and eventually published 57 volumes of poetry. James Dickey called Stafford one of those poets, quote, who pour out rivers of ink all on good poems, end quote. He kept a daily journal for 50 years and composed nearly 22,000 poems, of which roughly 3,000 were published. In 1975, he was named Poet Laureate of Oregon. In 1980, he retired from Lewis and Clark College, but continued to travel extensively and give public readings of his poetry. In 1992, he won the Western States Book Award for Lifetime Achievement in Poetry. Stafford passed away of a heart attack in Lake Oswego, Oregon, on August 28, 1993, having written a poem that morning containing the lines, 'You don't have to prove anything, my mother said. Just be ready for what God sends.'" In 2008, the Stafford family gave William Stafford's papers, including the 20,000 pages of his daily writing, to the Special Collections Department at Lewis and Clark College. Now, since that bio mentioned his pacifism and conscientious objectorness, I'm going to start off with a short poem that I found online. This is not in the book. It's called "At the Un-National Monument Along the Canadian Border." This is the field where the battle did not happen, where the unknown soldier did not die. This is the field where grass joined hands, where no monument stands, and the only thing heroic is the sky. Birds fly here without any sound, unfolding their wings across the open. No people killed or were killed on this ground, hollowed by neglect and an air so tame that people celebrate it by forgetting its name. That is just an astounding poem. Okay, and now to read some from Learning to Live in the World, Earth Poems by William Stafford, published by Harcourt, Brace & Company. This is a collection of poems from other books. Here's a real short one called Note. Straw, feathers, dust, little things. But if they all go one way, that's the way the wind goes. And this one's a little bit longer, starting with little things. Love the earth like a mole, fur near. Nearsighted, hold close the clods, their fine print headlines. Pat them with soft hands. But spades, but pink and loving, they break rock, nudge giants aside, affable plow. Fields are to touch. Each day nuzzle your way. Tomorrow the world. I really don't want to comment much hold true to the title of Deep Simplicity, and just let his words affect you, sink in, however. Another short one, Where We Live. Inside a house I live, inside a room that knowing makes. Then, far inside something greater, no one can find or say. And you live beside me, millions of stars away. Climbing Along the River. Willows never forget how it feels to be young. Do you remember where you came from? Gravel remembers. Even the upper end of the river believes in the ocean. Exactly at midnight yesterday sighs away. What I believe is all animals have one soul. Over the land they love, they crisscross forever. Outside, the least little sound sets the coyotes walking the edge of our comfortable earth. We look inward, but all of them are looking toward us as they walk the earth. We need to let animals loose in our houses, the wolf to escape with a pan in his teeth, and streams of animals toward the horizon racing with something silent in each mouth. For all we have taken into our keeping and polished with our hands belongs to a truth greater than ours in the animals' keeping. Coyotes are circling around our truth. West of here, the road goes down. It stops at the sea. The sea goes on. It stops at the sky. The sky goes on. At the end of the road, picnickers, rocks. We stand and look out. Another sky where this one ends, and another sea, and a world, and a road. And what about you, and what about me? Storm at the coast. What moves on, moves far here. What holds, holds along. But it is the wind and water will stay after the cliffs are gone. Why I am happy. Now has come an easy time. I let it roll. There is a lake somewhere so blue and far nobody owns it. A wind comes by and a willow listens gracefully. I hear all this every summer. I laugh and cry for every turn of the world, its terribly cold, innocent spin. That lake stays blue and free. It goes on, and I know where it is. Fall Wind. Pods of summer crowd around the door, I take them in the autumn of my hands. Last night I heard the first cold wind outside. The wind blew soft, and yet I shiver twice, once for thin walls, once for the sound of time. The Dream of Now. When you wake to the dream of now, from night and its other dream, you carry day out of the dark like a flame. When spring comes north and flowers unfold from earth and its even sleep, you lift summer on with your breath, lest it be lost ever so deep. Your life you live by the light you find, and follow it on as well as you can, carrying through darkness wherever you go your one little fire that will start again. That last stanza is just beautiful, the wording and the rhythm of it. I'm going to read that one again. It's an affirmation, a mantra, whatever. Your life you live by the light you find, and follow it on as well as you can, carrying through darkness wherever you go your one little fire that will start again. And here's another, this is a short but powerful one. It's called Yes. It could happen any time. Tornado, earthquake, Armageddon. It could happen. Or sunshine, love, salvation. It could, you know. That's why we wake and look out. No guarantees in this life, but some bonuses, like morning, like right now, like noon, like evening. Talk about gratitude and thankfulness and non-materiality attachments. That poem really hits it. And we'll wrap up with the last poem in this book. It's a short book, about 65 pages. This is called Reminders. Before dawn, across the whole road, as I pass, I feel spider webs. Within people's voices, under their words, or woven into the pauses, I hear a hidden sound. One thin green light flashes over a smooth sea just as the sun goes down. What roses lie on the altar of evening I inhale carefully to keep more of. Tasting all these and letting them have their ways to waken me, I shiver and resolve. In my life, I will more then live. So, there's lots more of William Stafford. Obviously, he's got tons of books. And, I'm just leafing through. Saw another one. Gonna read maybe another one or two or so. Let's see. This is called Weeds. What's down in the earth comes forth in cold water, in mist at night, in muttering volcanoes that ring oceans, moving strangely at times. And in autumn all the fields witness forth power there where roots find it, rooms delved silently and left for the dark to have. Up and down all highways weed flags proclaim, great earth is our home, as we slip our hand into winters again. Great is earth our home, great is the sky, and great are weeds in the fields. We celebrate earth and air as we sing in the wind. Has a lot of native feel to that, and also really an anthem for how to appreciate the yard and the weeds and not have to try to kill everything with pesticides and pollute the earth, rather to as he writes, celebrate earth and air as we sing in the wind. So, one more. This is called Ask Me. Sometime when the river is ice, ask me mistakes I have made. Ask me whether what I have done is my life. Others have come in their slow way into my thought, and some have tried to help or to hurt. Ask me what difference their strongest love or hate has made. I will listen to what you say. You and I can turn and look at the silent river and wait. We know the current is there, hidden, and there are comings and goings from miles away that hold the stillness exactly before us. What the river says, that is what I say. That reminded me of, I think it's Hermann Hesse's Siddhartha, which I read that decades ago, and so very stirring, as you could probably tell, just astoundingly simple language. It reminds me that you don't have to, vocabulary helps to be a good poet, but it's more like it's the puzzle of the words and the way they're arranged and what the way they are used and how they convey the feelings and ideas. It's kind of like that more than, you know, just showing off with words, although that has its, you know, different style or place. Stafford, he just touches me when I read those poems. Usually when reading them, I can read a couple of few and then that put the book down. But actually reading them aloud is enjoyable as much. Recommend that to people, even if they're just reading a poem in a book, to read them aloud, because poetry does tend to come alive in a different way. So thank you again for listening, and I'm going to go out with a piece by a musical group called Oregon, and this is called Take Heart, from their album Northwest Passage, and you can probably hear the influence of the Paul Winter Consort on the group Oregon. Take care and be well.